Well, here we are at the end of 2019. It's been a quick year, as years go. It's also has been a year when, as I prayed, the spotlight of God's Holy Spirit is on the revisiting of the apostolic back to the church, the proper use of the term and each role that is in the apostolic is for the church to answer to. Apostolic influence in the local church is the message tonight I wanted to share with you, who I've grown to love so much and have come and supported most of what we're doing here. And I have a great hunger to see this come to pass. For years, the apostolic was frowned on. Most of the church had a belief that the fivefold ministry was for the first 100 years of the church, the foundation built by the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, so that it could be a solid foundation. And after that, we didn't need all that noise because we had Holy Spirit. Well, Holy Spirit still works through man. How many know Holy Spirit partners with us to build his kingdom? He's not going to do it aside from us. As I've said the last couple of months, without God, we cannot. Without us, he will not. So I don't get many visions. I don't know if I have a shared this on Sunday. If I did, forgive me, I'll share it again. But I don't get many visions. But as I was praying, I've been reading everything I can on the apostolic, because it's really what God is focusing on right now. By apostolic, I don't mean just the apostles. I mean the apostolic ministry, which includes the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. The foundation of the church is built that. Jesus being the cornerstone. How many know God wants to set in order his church? And so he gave me a vision of a site where a house was being built, and all the bricks and mortar over here, all the block, you know, the block for the foundation, and over here were the trusses and the wood, and back there was all the copper piping and the PVC that was needed, and everything was on the property, but it wasn't being built. It was just kind of laying there. And God said, I've placed in the church all the ingredients to build the house, but it's not been built. Then I got a vision of the house being completed. Of course, it was a beautiful home. But how many know there's an order? First, you got to lay the foundation. Then you got to build the basement. You got to wait for that to cure. Then you got to put the boards on the top course of a block and build on that. And put your flooring and put your walls up. Set your trusses. And there's an order that's going to have to take place for that house to be livable. Everybody agreed? Yes. So the church is no different. The church has to be built the way that God has a blueprint. So if we look in God's word, we begin to see a blueprint for the church. Practically, of course, the church is worked out in the houses that are available in the community. This house of worship that does things a little bit differently. But God's desire is that we all work together. And the revelation of that is starting to come to pass. Maybe in your sphere of influence where you're used to, it's always been that way. For me, I've not seen so much unity as I've seen in this last couple of years in the church here locally in this region and other places that I have folks that are influential there as well. Tomorrow at 12:30, we'll be having the second North Central Indiana Pastor's Prayer and Leadership Prayer at Cornerstone Church in Plymouth, the second one for the region. So there's pastors and leaders from every denomination and every flavor coming together. I think the last time there's probably, 50 people there, 60 people there. So it may be even more tomorrow, but I'm excited about that because people are starting to catch the vision that the church is much bigger than just the four walls of a local church. I mean, no, God sets a church in a region to bring regional order, and then state order, and then national order, and that kind of thing. And it's not unlike what God did when he set up Moses in the wilderness when Moses was talking to everybody, and there were lines of people for hours. And of course, Jethro came to him and said, you can't do it this way. You've got to appoint. So there was captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of 50s, captains of tens, so that order could be set in that humongous 2.5 million people that had problems every day. Come on, somebody. And it works out. And so God set within the body an order, and he wants it. There's nothing wrong with the wood being piled, the block being piled up over here, and the wood being, there's nothing wrong with that. God doesn't want to change the ingredients. He wants to change where those things are. You go, you see that pre-construction mess, and you come back 6 months later, and the house is built. Nothing's changed. All the material that was there is still there. It's just in its proper place. Amen? Go in and live in that house. Thank God for the plumber, the carpenter, the electrician, and all those that were able to put together. And so, God, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because of the lack of the apostolic mindset in many local churches, often the only input is from the pastor. I'm amazed even now at pastors that I talk to that never have any guest speakers in, never have any influence other than their word coming once or twice a week for years and years and years. How many know might be a good communicator, but when all you get is one person's vision, that's the way the church is going to go. I mean, you know, God's bigger than just one person's vision. From the day I stepped in here, I brought influence. When I first came, I brought people that influenced my life over the years. I brought here to speak into your life. Some of them have come back. Some of them will come back again. But the point being is, God set people in the body so that we would see God, the many-faceted God, a different way each time. Come on, somebody. You've got a revelation that I don't have. You've got a gifting that I don't have. So we corporately reflect the God that we serve. Scriptures say that the manifest wisdom of God, or the manifold wisdom of God, the many variegated, the New American Standard says, many variegated sides of God might be made known by the church to who? Principalities and powers. Once that's set, once those things are set in order, the house is ready to be occupied and it's ready for growth. The local church was set by God to be a microorganism of the corporate body of Christ, drawing from the influence of the apostle and the prophet, oftentimes translocal, will give a well-rounded outlook to the local body and will begin to influence where things are. There's been a great swing of the pendulum these last 4 or 5 years. Now everybody's an apostle and a prophet. We've got kids 25, 26 years old on Facebook building their own, you know, they've got their own little shows. You can come in here, apostle so-and-so. That's not what God meant by all of that. How many know we need maturity? And so the pendulum swung too far to this side, but it's okay. God is bringing order to his church. I think in 2020, we'll see a lot of those things shut down. A lot of people will stop listening to those because there's no content there. They're just trying to build their own ministry. It gets old pretty quick. When we have a heart for the kingdom, that's what we're trying to build, the kingdom of God. He gets the glory. We just serve him. Amen? As sons and daughters, we serve the living God. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking about the body of Christ. Unity and diversity, my Bible says, in one body. Verse 12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Watch now, here comes the architect. Now that we know we're all part of the same body, now God shows us the blueprint of what he wants. Verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. How many know God has a plan for the church that he sets in order? If you went out on that building site and somebody was trying to put the trusses in the air with no foundation and walls underneath, how far would they get? You know, if the electrician got excited and come out and wired the whole place for electricity, where would he hang the wires? Come on, someone. Somebody came out, the roofers came out and said, we want to put the roof on. Where would they put the roof on? There has to be something underneath. And so there's an order, and I'm always amazed. I've always said I'm a reluctant Pentecostal, because so many times Pentecostals just get together and they say, well, we don't have any plans. Let's just do something and God will show up. Can you imagine if God ran the universe like that? Could you imagine if God ran the universe like that? Well, I don't want the sun to come up now. Let's wait and let the sun come up at 1 o'clock. You know, we don't need rain for this year. Let's have the whole year 2020 no rain. Come on, someone. There are patterns and ways that God does things in his creation, and the same needs to be reflected in the church. And for so long, the church just said, well, let's appoint a local pastor. And that local pastor has to be seminary trained. He has to have all the education. He must know his Greek and his Hebrew. And once a year, he'll hold evangelistic meetings. Once a year, he'll prophesy. And once a year, he'll do all the, teach. And how many know we put too much on one or two people? And what happens is we burn people out. We burn them out. Guys that are real gifted, have a lot of talent. And we wonder, we say, well, what's wrong with all these big churches that have pastors that fall in sexual sin or fall in, steal money and run away? It's because we give them too much responsibility. They're not able to handle it. Come on, someone. It's going to crash and burn because they just can't handle it. God never intended that to be. And I can't, I asked a professor once that I had, I said, what would you change if you could change anything about the way that we evangelize in America? He said, I'd send people out 2x2. I'd get Benny Hinn and Jimmy Swaggart, at the time Jimmy Swaggart was, I'd get them traveling together. I'd get Billy Graham and, some other guy traveling together. God never intended for us to be a one-man show. But every local church is counting on the pastor to be a one-man show. Oh, you've been our pastor for years. Eh? Come on. Nothing wrong with being a pastor. I have been a pastor for 30-some years. but I need the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher. Absolutely need them to build a local, regional strength that God can count on to extend his kingdom. There is an order, just like creation. Time, season, weather, all of which has happened systematically. And here we can begin to see the pattern, just like when you go out on the building site, there's usually a table set up there, and the drawings, the blueprints, the architectural design is there for you to build, because the guy that sat in his office with a cup of coffee for 3 months prior to that building had a way of setting everything in order. Come on, someone. Even when you cut the boards, you cut them. If he wants a 5 foot long board, you don't cut it 3 foot and hope it works. There's order and discipline that God wants in his church. Often the church expects surprises to happen. Well, let's just all get together and magically things will come together. That's not the way it works. When that plan in nature is interrupted, what happens? Chaos ensues. If weather patterns get messed up, there's devastation in the natural realm when things get out of sync. So goes the natural, so goes the spiritual. I'm not talking about dead religion. I'm not talking about having such a pattern that you say the same things every week and read, you know, systematically everything. I'm not talking about that. There's glory in order. The glory of God is shown in the order of God. We must follow the blueprint. For decades, the church has been run on tradition and not on command from God. There is a way that God wants the church, his ecclesia, to operate. And that's what we're after. This revelation, it's like, you know, the Christmas come along. We've had our Christmas tree up for 6 months, it seems like. My wife wanted to set the tree up as quickly as possible. I hardly wait for, we had it set up way before Thanksgiving. Kind of like right after the Halloween holiday, it's just time to get the Christmas stuff out. Now, the tree is there year round, but it's not seen until late October, early November for 3 months. See, that seems like it's there forever. What I'm trying to say, God is focusing now back on the blueprint. He wants the church to get it together. For so long, we've either been in chaos or dead religion. But God says, I'm getting ready to bring the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. I want them to come into a church that's alive and reflecting my glory. Come on. There's a place for everyone in the divine blueprint. You are vitally important to the kingdom of God. We begin to see the gifts flowing so that business gets done while we are gathered together. You're vitally important to the Lord. Would you say, what part is that? Well, get on your knees and find out. And begin to work that out. God has appointed the body for this. Apostles and prophets were never meant to be at the top of some hierarchical scale. They are used to lay the foundation. You know, too often when this whole apostolic thing began to happen, we set people up in pedestals. Oh, this is apostle so-and-so, a prophetess or prophet so-and-so. And, you know, they have an entourage that follows them around. And they're all, that's not what God ever meant by that. He never meant that to happen. We're not making heroes. We're functioning as a house. The spotlight's not on the block. The spotlight's not on the boards or the copper or the PVC, but it's on the whole thing so that we can occupy it. Ephesians 2:20 says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So long, the church says, well, that was for the first century. We don't need that anymore, but God has never changed, and his pattern has never changed. The way the sun came up on the first day of on the fourth day of creation is the way the sun comes up the rest of the time. Come on, someone. Just like God said, let there be, when he said, let there be light, there was light, and he looked at it and said, it is good. He has appointed the church for roles to play. 1 Corinthians 12:28, we just read. God has appointed these in the church. First apostles. Why do we need first apostles? We need the people that are sent governmentally to bring order to the church. Second prophets. We need to hear what God's saying about that order. Third, teachers. We need to learn what the pattern is so we can make babies. Come on, someone. Anybody there tonight? After that, miracles. That's when miracles begin to happen. When order happens, miracles happen. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. The day that I prayed for a lady, totally surprised, she was, I've told the story, deaf and dumb. She was part of about 20 people that we had, a whole deaf section. But, you know, as I look back on that, we had just set some things in order and just had the apostolic come into that group, begin to speak to us, and all of a sudden signs and wonders began to happen. Nothing changed. We're all the same people. But for Pete's sakes, when the Spirit of God began to be poured out, there was a 9-year-old boy started praying over people and get healed. I didn't have to pray for anybody. I just sat and watched him. He was used greatly of God. I mean, he knew his role. He was like a little R.W. Schombach. He just, you know, after the third person he prayed for, he grabbed the mic. What do you want from God? Glory to God. And pray and people be healed. I wasn't one bit of me being jealous, but it all happened because we began to set things in order. It's like next spring when you pull the garden hose out of the shed, hook it up. You want to make sure it pulled out, make sure there's no kinks. The water is going to run to the kink and then it's not going to go any further. It's all about alignment. First apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then signs, wonders, and miracles, administration, tongues. Things begin to happen when order happens. It's not because anybody's any better than anybody else. It's not go out and hire somebody that's functioning at a higher intellectual level. It's just setting things in order. Come on, someone. It doesn't matter if I bought that hose at Walmart or at, you know, an expensive store. The hose is going to do what the hose does. The church is going to do what the church does. He set us in order in the church to function. Once that comes into alignment, God says, okay, I can do my work. Because it's all God anyway. It's all God anyway. Now look over in Ephesians 4, very familiar. We're going to be there in a few weeks, but Ephesians chapter 4. I just bought my, 10th Bible since 1994. Maybe 11th. I get the same Bible all the time, so this is about ready to go into retirement. But I got the Bible. I ordered, I was kind of excited about it, but all the red letters are out of it. It's not the red letter edition. So I went, oof. So I may give that away and get a red letter edition. But anyway, I don't know why I said that. I like knowing where everything is on the page. I may not know the verse, the chapter and the verse, but I know where it is on the page. So I'm thankful for that. Ephesians 4:10, here's what the word says. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And after he ascended, he said, y'all just have a ball. No. When he ascended, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To bring things in order, to make the kingdom livable in our local area, we must begin to recognize regionally this setting that God is doing. And he's already appointed. They're here. We just need to begin to recognize them. Just like that Christmas tree is in my house 12 months a year, but a couple months out of the year, it's the focal point. God wants to set the focal point back where it belongs. Denominations took the blueprint and changed the whole point. They appointed district superintendents, national presidents. They have an annual conference. And so they kind of have a similitude of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, district superintendent, area superintendent, that kind of thing. I sit in an office and I bring orders to all the denomination around the world. That's not what God intended at all. It's all about relationship. If you read Paul, Paul says, I don't build on another man's, what he's doing. I build on what God has given me, my sphere of influence. And he says to the people that God has tended, he writes them and says, I think of you as my child. I birthed you. I married you to Jesus. I love you. I think of it in every mention. I make mention of you in every prayer. Come on, someone. It's all about the relationship that God sets. God never meant to be for us to be an organization, but an organism. I've never been part, ever since I started to preach, never been part of a denomination because I don't believe in it. I don't believe that God makes denominations. I respect them and love them. They're my brothers and sisters, but I'll never be part of a denomination because somebody in Clarion, Pennsylvania has no idea what I'm doing in Rochester, Indiana. And they can't tell me what to do. I take my orders from the Lord and those that I submit to locally. Come on, someone. So denominations were a good idea, but they were a man-made idea. They can build solid organizations, but they don't have an organism. There's not life in that. You trip into life in that instead of living the life. Come on, someone. God wants to intimately involve himself in the local church. God set the church in order. We have taken his word and done it our way, and that's why we've been as messy as we've been. I talked a few months ago when I first started to walk in this revelation that we've had a pastor-run church since its inception. New Life has been a pastor-run church. And while there's not anything terribly wrong with that, we've got the electrician on site. Well, where's the plumber and the carpenter and the roofer? Come on, somebody. If we want the thing to be a place where God can send the lost, because he's not going to send, how many know, you build a house and it's only one wall and a porch and a floor, how many know nobody's going to live in that? They might come visit, they're not going to stay. Come on, somebody. And the people that have gotten a revelation of that, that's why there's such a falling away of people from the local church. People are leaving in droves. Why? Because it doesn't look like they read. They read it and it says, God set in order the church. He first set apostles, then prophets, then teachers. It doesn't even mention pastors in that section, 1 Corinthians 12:28. It does over in Ephesians 4:11, which is the only time he mentions pastor in the New Testament. Come on, somebody. That doesn't mean there's not pastors, but we put too much emphasis on the pastor, say you're going to be everything to all men, all people, all things to all men and women. Last time I read any statistic, it says 250 pastors leave the ministry every month in America. Why? Because there's so much demands put on young people coming out of seminary. They get into a church and they say, well, your wife's got to play piano and you've got to be the accountant and you've got to be you've hospital visitation, you've got to counsel people, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. You say, God called me to preach. Come on, somebody. So we want to set things in order that when we align with God's purposes, when the church is in alignment with the purposes of God, God says, okay, now I'll turn on the faucet, the water's ready to spray. Now sit, open the front door, it's livable now. Bring the people in. See, the thing is in order and God anoints and brings his strength and power through obedient people. It's not talented, it's not somebody good looking, it's not that we finally get the marketing down. It doesn't have anything to do with that. God increases as he desires. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we've done everything in our power to make that not happen. Because we like things the way they are. We like making heroes. We like setting people in high places and saying, well, you do it and I'll just come and watch you. No, it's everybody's job. My first church I was involved with, we had something like 67% or 68% of the people that came through the doors were involved in some kind of ministry. Come on, someone. Out of that church, 12 went into full-time ministry and still are full-time ministers today. Why? Because we recognized order and that kind of thing. And the same thing can happen here. Tradition takes over where relationships are broken down. If relationships aren't strong, that happens when we have pastors leave. A pastor leaves you. Look all over the nation for another. That's how I got sent here. Was you looked in around the nation. I, for Pete's sakes, I was down in North Carolina. But how many know that's not God's best? So I had to come in and build relationships. I'm still building relationships. It's been almost seven years, and I'm finally just finding my stride. Come on, someone. That's retarded 6 years when if you raise somebody up in the house that knows the relationships and the strength that God has given, it's seamless. It continues. That was God's point. Come on, someone. What did Paul do when he went in the cities? He set elders in each place so that the church could run seamlessly without him. It wasn't about Paul. It wasn't about Apollos. He rebuked in Corinthians. He said, "You one says, I'm Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, and another Cephas. We're not anything. It's God that brings the increase." Come on, somebody. Why? Because there was order in the church. Why? Because all the kinks were out of the hose. Why? Because the whole house is built. See? I love what it says in verse 11 of Ephesians 4. He himself gave. God had a plan from the beginning. When he went to heaven, he didn't stay up there and just said, figure it out. No, he sent Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. How many are thanking God for Holy Spirit? He leads and guides us. Then he gave gifts to men. Out of that, he gave gifts to men. The Holy Spirit says, I'm going to give you the gift of healing. I'm going to give you the gift of tongues. I'm going to give you the gift of administration. I'm going to set this one as an apostle. I'm going to set this one in as a prophet. I'm going to set this one in. And the church began to flow. It was so effective that when persecution came to the Jerusalem church, the whole world was won. In the first 100 years, the whole world was evangelized. Every nation had heard of the gospel because people went out that were equipped properly. And everywhere they went, they set equipped. And then when that generation died off, somebody came up with an idea to set political pastors in different areas, politically appointed, not relationally appointed. And we got what we got today. We've never recovered from that fall. But I believe God wants to restore the church. And Ephesians is very clear. It's appointed, the fivefold ministry is appointed to equip the place to plant and to grow. First, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. People ought to know what they're doing in a local church. To place them in a proper place that they're the most functioning. Light switches are nice, but if you put light switches on a ceiling, you need a ladder to get to it. Come on, somebody. We need to properly place everybody where they're supposed to be. And then to grow. What's the scripture say? It's that we grow up into, it goes on to say in Ephesians, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. So our point is to grow up into the position that never moves. He will always be the head of His church. Come on, somebody. We've had some awfully good ideas last 100 years in this nation. We had some great ideas. I remember when Dr. James Kennedy from the Presbyterian Church came up with Evangelism Explosion. Anybody remember that? Man, he had a whole thing. He sent workbooks out, had seminars all over the United States. This is how you win people to Christ. And it sounded good. It was good, but it went... because it wasn't designed by God. They took the ingredients of what God said and said, well, let us do it this way. We're in America, we'll try it this way. Come on, someone. We haven't had a clear vision of what the architect wanted. If we turn the plumber loose in a house that has no structure, as I said, we'll have running water but nothing else. We turn the pastor loose on the house. We've got the word every week, but that's what we got. The entire house must be built on the skill of every person involved. Paul says in Corinthians, one comes with a song, one comes with a hymn, one comes with a spiritual song, one comes with healings. Come on, one comes with administration. Come on, somebody. I've often said the most spiritual lady in the church that I started out with that I thought was the woman that cleaned the church. She came in, cleaned the pew. We had those old wooden pews, you know what I'm saying? About 10 foot long. We had row, and they were all pews. She came in and cleaned those pews with the furniture polish, praying in tongues. You'd talk to her, man, she'd tell you how much in love with Jesus she was. She was a minister. But she knew her lane. And you know whenever you came to church that everything was going to be clean because Kathy cleaned the church. But you better believe when she was cleaning that church, she was praying. Come on, somebody. I think she had like an 8th grade education, never finished high school. But man, she knew God. She knew God. So if we have just that one drum beating, we're in trouble. Imagine the problem of church effectiveness in the city, which many pastors address. When I first came to Rochester, I wanted to find out about the history. I wanted to know what the churches were doing. I got together with a group of pastors in Giretti's. About the first month I was here, I never went back. It scared me. Those guys were... pat them on the back and there was dust coming out of their head. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being honest. But you ask an apostle how the church is going to be effective in the city, he's going to say, let's appoint elders and plant churches and get the church unified in the area. And if all you do is run on that apostle's vision, that's what you're going to have. You ask a prophet, what's a prophet going to say? He's going to say, let me pray and fast. Let's hear from the word. Let's hear from God and get His direction. If you ask an evangelist, what's an evangelist going to say? Ask James. He said, man, we need to win souls. We need to train people. Let's lead people to Christ. That's how we're going to be effective in the community. Just get everybody saved. Well, it sounds good, but how many know there's much more to it than that? Thank God there's water in the house, but there's going to be electricity. Of course, you ask a pastor. Pastor's going to say, we got to love and nurture who we have. Protect them from disappointment. Minister to them when they're sick. Pat them on the back. You know, bless them, love them, shepherd them. And if you ask a teacher, teacher's going to say, correct information must be received. Let's start studying God's Word. Now, none of those in and of themselves are wrong. But if we just get that one influence, that's what we'll have. God never meant the church to be a one-drum church. It's a well-rounded, well-influenced church. Like I said, ever since Terry and I have come here, we've tried to bring outside influence of people that we trust in Christ. There's only one time I brought somebody in on recommendation for somebody else. That was a nightmare. I don't know if you were here when that happened. It was on a Wednesday night. I mean, remember.
Who was it?
I forget who it was. I wouldn't tell you if I did remember.
Okay.
Yeah. And the guy was like, I apologize right away. I stayed up with that guy till 3 o'clock in the morning questioning him where he got his theology. And he couldn't give me a straight answer. I have to tell that story some other time. Funny. And my wife's, we were in that small house over on Spear Street. And so I was talking to this guy till like 3 in the morning. And she said she heard me about 2:30 going, we have liftoff. So finally, he said what I wanted him to say. His real philosophy came out, which had nothing to do with Scripture. So anyway, I have to tell that story some other time. But we need the synergy of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. Come on, someone. He's the architect. He set the church in order. When He left, He gave. He didn't leave and not send. He said, it's expedient for me if I go. For if I don't go, I can't send another me. My twin, the same as me. I send the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to set in place apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, administrator, intercessor, all the things that make a local area in order. Now, the things I'm talking about in the state of Oregon, they have most of the counties in that state overseen by apostolic order, and it's absolutely changing the whole state. It's absolutely changing the whole state. Tim Sheets is starting that in Ohio, seeing that same thing. His influence, the influence of the apostolic in Ohio, bringing in order. Churches praying 24/7. People being recognized for their giftings and callings. Not only locally, but regionally, and it starts to affect states. How many know when enough states are affected, guess what it affects? The nation. How many know when the nation is affected, what's it going to affect? The world. And that's what God's after. The captain over the 10 is just as important as the captain over the 1,000. Just as important. Because if he can get the problem solved, he doesn't have to mess with the captain of 50 or the captain of 100 and so on and so forth. So we need that synergy. I looked up the word synergy. It means a mutually advantageous conjunction or compatibility of distinct participants or elements such as resources or efforts. So in this year 2020 at New Life, we're going to be looking at people to fill slots so that we can get the house built for the reception of the, first of all, the backslider and the prodigal is coming back to the church. I believe that with my whole heart. But they're not going to come back to a church with one wall and a floor and a piano in the background. Come on, somebody. They want to come into something that's going to house them and honor God. And come on, order. So we want to see a mutual advantageous conjunction or compatibility of each member of New Life so that we work together. One of the buzzwords that's being thrown around now, everything is new, next level. Everything, it used to be back in the 90s with Excel. Everybody was using the word Excel. Excel, Excel this, Excel that. Now it's the next level. Next level church, next level Bible study, next level this, next level that. Blech. But we need to move into, I'll borrow the term, the next level that God wants. God's calling us up to that place where we can function together and give God the glory out of it. We must go to the next level in this area and embrace the apostolic in the region. I had breakfast with one of the other pastors that I get together with. I said, brother, it's time to take this thing to the next point. So I'm praying, and I submitted to him. I'd like to have Apostle Tim Sheets in to come and talk to us about prayer. The thing Tim can do is talk transdenominationally. He's not going to jump up and speak in tongues and scare everybody. But what he is going to do is bring an apostolic word to the region and say, this is what needs to happen. And that's things start to come together. As we respond to that, what's happening tomorrow in Plymouth, I believe God wants that to happen and give glory to Him as things begin to function correctly. It takes two things. It takes humility and at the same time boldness. Humility to say, I came to serve, in boldness to carry out what God's called you to do. And when you start stepping out, we've all served the Lord a long time in this room. We start stepping out. How many know most of the things that I do for God, I did the first time I did it by faith. Come on. I remember when God used me in prophecy in my first church I was part of, the prophetic kept coming up in me, and I was so scared I wouldn't say anything because I thought, man, what if I miss God? And so somebody else would speak the prophecy God had given me because he's going to get it to the people no matter what. And after about 6 months of being pretty accurate, I remember stepping out the first time. And then I was on my way home. Right after that, I was on my way home with Terry and the kids, and we had missed Wednesday night service. And God said, go to the church. I got a plan. I got something for you to do. So I said to Terry, I'm going to I'll drop you off, and I got to go to the church. And I was so nervous. I walked into the church. I didn't know what God was going to do. And God said, speak this word. Somebody's had a back problem for 20 years, and God wants to heal your back tonight. So I said that. I mean, it was just closing service. Pastor Foy said, I raised my hand. He said, yeah. And I said that. And a guy got up, walked up front, God prayed for him, never had a back problem again. But most of the things we do for the Lord, we do. Of course we have a fear. Of course there's going to be fear and trepidation. But at the same time, there's boldness and faith in God that he's going to do what he's called you to do. You're absolutely necessary to the functioning of the body here at New Life, in this house. You're absolutely necessary to that. And as he sets into place, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and I think we've got a lot of that already going here locally. I really do. We've got a prophet in the house, a couple of them. They're beginning to function in that office. Come on, someone. And as we recognize that, set those things in order, things are aligned, God will bring the people. We won't have to tell people things are going on here, kingdom things are going on here. They'll know because the Spirit of the Lord will lead them. Come on. Advertising is out the window. We don't have to advertise when God lines up. I don't have to go over to the water faucet and say, bring water, bring water, bring water. All I got to do is turn it on and the water comes. Because why? Everything's aligned. There's no kick in the hose. It's going to work. Come on, someone. When the house is built, I don't have to tell people the house is built. They know by looking at it. Well, that's a house I'm interested in. It's actually pretty good looking. I'll buy it. People will come if we do it. And I don't know what all that looks like because I'm praying over the list of members here. I'm praying over people. Some of the things I know people can do. Something, but we're going to be asking you to be involved in the function. And for the time being, the function may not have anybody that you need to teach or to lead or to guide. But we know that when people come in, we know where to send them. Come on, someone. Hello. We had a couple in our church, our first church that we were a part of. We had Daryl and Jody Morgan. And they were counselors. They were just that kind of people. They had that kind of personality. So if anybody came in with a problem, we knew where to send them. Not to the pastor, because the pastor would just talk them to death. Send them to a counselor. And they were effective counselors. Come on, someone. When they were appointed counselors, there was nobody to counsel. For 6 months, nobody to counsel. All of a sudden, people started showing up that, guess what? They needed counseling. So Daryl and Jody were occupied after that, now pastoring a church in Aiken, South Carolina. But God wants to do some tremendous things. And I'm counting on you. Pray with me. I don't have all the answers, but I got a bunch of them. I got a bunch of them. And I want to share that with you as the months go on. I'm excited about what God's going to do in 2020. There's a lot of prophecy about 2020. It's going to be an explosion, explosive thing that happens, an acceleration. It's almost like getting out of the slow lane and going into the passing lane. Come on. Because if we believe what's coming to pass, can I tell you a little secret? somebody I think is going to be an excellent run for president in 2024. I don't know why I'm saying this, but Ben Carson. Dr. Ben Carson. Begin to pray for him even now. Come on, somebody. I think God could give us the next 8 to 12 years. That'd be really neat. Come on, someone. If he gets in, that'd be 12 years. That'd be a nice runway to get this thing where it's supposed to be for the return of our Lord and Savior. Everybody okay? Too much information in one night? If you could see inside my brain, you'd go, that's scary. Because I'm beginning to see this thing is functioning in the alignment. Alignment's a big word for me right now. God said, if you align, if you'll set people in order, I'll do the rest. It's really Him setting people in order. We just have to recognize that and encourage everybody to do what they're called to do. Remember when Paul and Barnabas and the rest were in Antioch and they fasted and prayed and the Holy Spirit said, set aside for the work of ministry Paul and Barnabas. Why? Because they recognized elders, got together and began to pray and the Holy Spirit said, this is the function that I want these two to go in. And it certainly worked because it opened up the Gentile world. Praise God. So, what do you think? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you?